Okay, we are at Samach Amud Beis. And the Gemara just said that Reb Shimon said that a Mukkas Eitz, he cannot be Matame too. And a Arusa Shenizgarsha, he could. And the Gemara asked, Reb Shimon's rule is that one can only be Matame to somebody who's fit to a kind gadol. Neither a Mukkas Eitz nor an Arusa Shenizgarsha, which means a girl that had a lady that Ariston got divorced, she's a Grusha, can marry a kohen gadol. So why does Reb Shimon include from the word hakroiva arusish and nizgarsha, and he doesn't include mukkas eitz, which is the Gemara's kasha at the beginning of the page? I'll start again from the beginning of the page. Frank the Gemara of Amar Reb Shimon, ruyul a kohen gadol metamela. Only a girl that is a woman that is fit for a kohen gadol can he be metamela to a brother to a sister. Shein ruyul a kohen gadol ein metamela. So why is Arusish and Nizgarsha Manashek? If you hold Arusish and Nizgarsha as an exception, there goes the rule. I thought you went back there to Israel. So what's the plan?
Maybe tomorrow.
Manashek should help. Should be a derech flick. I'm not so bad that I didn't say goodbye to you. Not that you should, because of that, have to stay another 2 days. So this is why I say goodbye now. You should have a derech flick. Shane Ruil and a kosher for Elohim Pesach.
This is for a regular Kohen to be Matame?
This is for a regular Kohen. The barometer, is whether a Kohen Gadol can marry her. So the Gemara Shaini Hasam, the Rabbi Rachman of Kroiva. There's an exception. The Torah said Kroiva. So Kroiva came to include Arusish and Isgarsha. Right? Because of Shimon Shita is that Arusa he can't be Matame too, because there's this Hoysa, and Hoysa means Erison. In fact, the Gemara Yachim Mukaseit Nami. So if you made an exception, make an exception for Mukkas Eitz as well. So the Gemara, Rabbi Kroiva Achas V'loishtayim. Kroiva only includes one exception, you can't make two. Umar Roes, so how'd you know who decide? Right, a Grusha and a Mukkas Eitz. Why did you decide that the exception to the rules are Arusish and Isgarsha rather than Mukkas Eitz? So the Gemara, ha is Avad B'maisa, ha lo is Avad B'maisa. What had an act done to her? A Mukkas Eitz, bottom line, not an act through a man, but something happened to her physically, whereas Arusa Shenizgarsha is totally untouched at all by anything. Therefore, if we want to be Marba, we'll be Marba one, not the other. So again, to review, because we're going to need this again for at least for the next few lines. We have two opinions in this Braisa. We had Remeir's opinion and Reb Yaisi Reb Shimon's opinion. Remeir held that a Kain could be Metamatis, sister of the Arusa, and he could be Matamah to Mukkas Eitz. The way he learned the psukim was, again, I will go through it again, the Choyse HaPsula came to exclude Anusa Mefuta. She's not a Psula, right? Asher LeChoyse LeIsh, only if it happened through a man, but if it's a Mukkas Eitz, he can be Matamah to her. Right? HaKroiva came to tell us Arusa, and Elov came to include Begaris. That was Reb Meir's way of learning. Reb Yaisi and Reb Shimon learned. They learned Achaisi Absula excluded Anusa Mefuta and Mukkas Eitz. Now over here, we'll see in a second. Right. They included the three of them. Asher Loi Haisa excluded Arusa because they learned Haisa means Kedushin. Right? They didn't learn like Reb Meir that Haisa means Nesuin after you had the word Hakraiva. They learned Haisa excludes anybody that had Kedushin with a man. And Hakraiva is to include Akrusish and Isgarsha. And Elof is to include Begeris. That was the Shita. Now, if you notice in the Brisa, and I didn't point this out, at the beginning it said Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. They darshan the Psukim one way. Then it said Reb Yaisi and Reb Shimon said that he can't be Matama to an Arusa. Then it said, Reb Shimon said, he can't be Matamah to Mukkas Eitz. There it only mentioned Reb Shimon's name. It didn't mention Reb Yaisi and Reb Shimon. Again, if you look at the Braisa and Samach Amud Aleph, Tan Rabbanon, Achoyse Arusa Remei Reb Yudai Mem Matamim Lo, Reb Yaisi Reb Shimon Aimim Eim Matamim Lo. A line later it says, Mukkas Eitz Eim Matamim Lo, Divrei Reb Shimon. What happened to Reb Yaisi? Reb Yaisi was on Reb Shimon's side when it came to Arusa. But when it comes to Mukkas Eitz, it seems Reb Yaisi is not to be found. Why? If they're learning the Pasuk the same way, obviously Reb Yaisi doesn't agree to Reb Shimon by Mukkas Eitz. He only agrees to him by Arusa. But by Mukkas Eitz, He holds not that way. Frech the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, Midishavke Barzuge, since his partner left him, right? I don't know who left to. I don't know if it means Rabbi Yossi left his partner. If you're Gairus Midishavke Le Barzuge, if you're Gairus Midishavke Barzuge means Shimon left Rabbi Yossi. Miklal de Mamukka say it's Kermeyer Svirla. Must be that my book says he agrees to Remeir. But the problem is, Remeir learned it out from the word Lehoitzelish, but Rabbi Yossi agreed Lehoitzelish is to exclude Arusa. So how can you learn both things from Lehoitzelish? Menolai. Dr. Gemara, Mirem Lehoitzelish. Dr. Gemara Bavitze, he used it to exclude Arusa. Right? Remeir used Lehoitzelish to allow Mukasek, because it didn't happen through a man. But Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon agreed, Lehoitzel Ish is to exclude Arusa. So once you have that, where is the heter of Mukas Eitz? She's not a psula. Where is Mukas Eitz included? Right? Where is it coming from? Zakti Gemara, Chad mi Lehoitzel, the Chad mi Leish. Lehoitzel Leish. Could have just said Lehoitzel. Lehoitzel would have meant she didn't have Kedushin. What's Lehoitzel Leish? One is to say that whatever happens has to be through a man. Mukas Eitz is not through a man. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds. So, Machloek is three ways here. Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda say, you can be Matamatan Arusa and Mukas Eitz. Rabbi Shimon is the other extreme. No Arusa, no Mukas Eitz. And Rabbi Yossi says, no Arusa, but yes Mukas Eitz. He is the one that divides the two. And it's not a logical machlokes, it's how to learn the psukim. Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda understand that Shalom Hoysel Ish is to say only women that something happened through a man become non metamable by their brother. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon learned that Shalom Hoysel is to say if she's an Arusa, he can't be metamater. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, but there's an extra word, Ish. There I agree to Remeir, that's matra mukaseit. And Rabbi Shimon does not make that drasha. Zakrashi with the Shavki Barzuge, they got the Mukasait Polygon or Shimon Lakhude. But Shavki Rabyasi Dava Barzuge. Now it's it's the way the Gemara is learning, Rabbi Shimon left Rabyasi. Barusa, who was his partner by Arusa, Mikhlad Mukasait Kormeir Svirla, Rabyasi Matamala. Lehaisa, the Darshla Rameya, Misha Yasal the Ish, it had to happen through a man. Avka Rabyasi Lahisi Sarusa. The answer is Chad, Milahaisi, Lahaisi, Lahaisi, Sarusa, Milahish, Lemishu Mukas Eitz, Sheimu Kukelos Eideish, nothing happened through a man. Frank the Gemara, we got another problem here. And the question is, Besula, right, according to Reb Shimon, means Besula Shlema. That's how Reb Shimon learned back by the Isha Bifsuleha Yikach, right? So Reb Shimon learned that besula means excluding a begaris. Besuleha includes a begaris. But the word besula, according to Reb Shimon, meant a non-begaris. Here, he needs a pasuk, elav l'rabbis is a begaris, which contradicts the word besula. Right? Meaning, if besula excludes begaris, right? If besula excludes begaris, right? So then, why over here is Elov is including Begaris? Frech the Gemara, Elov Larabas of Begaris, so Amar Rav Shimon Besula Besula Shlema Mashma. So the Gemara, time of the day, Nami Hasa Mihacha. Adarabba, this is the source. Since we need Elov to include a Begaris, must be without Elov, she's not included. Why not? Because the word Besula means Shlema. This is his source. Adarabba, how does he know Besula means a total basula, not a begaris? Because since by tumma we needed Elof to include a begaris, why would we need Elof to include a begaris if basula just meant even a partial basula? So this is his source, midashari, the darashachi, midaylof, rabbis, a begaris, mechal the basula, basula, shleima, mashma. So it comes out very interesting. Remeir holds basula means even mikdash basula. Right. But he says, had the Torah not written Elov, I would have learned Mitzvah Besula means partial Besula means the Begaris is included. Again, Remeir holds, there's two Machlokes in here. Remeir held that a Begaris cannot marry a Kohen Gadol. And he learned it out from the word Besuleha. Had the Torah only written Vehu Isha Besula Yikach, Remeir says it would have meant he can marry a Begaris. Because Besula doesn't mean Anara. Besula can mean even begeret, even mikta besula. Came along the Torah and wrote besuleha, an extra yud, to tell me that it has to be a nara, not a begeret. Right? That's how Remeir understood it. So now we get to the pasuk of Tumah, where it says, v'achaytzei habsula. According to Remeir, besula means even partial besula. So why do I need Elof to include begeret? The word besula includes begeret. That was the Gemara's kasha on Daven Aleph. The Gemara answered, I would have learned out that besula means a nara from a gzeirah shava. Therefore, I need Elof to tell me, don't make that gzeirah shava. Meaning again, I want to explain this. It's a little bit not complicated, just to keep it straight. Remeir and Reb Shimon have two machloikas in here. One they had on the Avsamach, on the Nuntesamar Aleph. On the Nuntesamar Aleph, they had a machloikas, can a Kohen Gadol marry a Begeris? That machloikas was based on what the word Besula meant. And whatever word Besula meant, Besuleha changed it.
Both hold
the same thing. That whatever Besula meant, Besuleha came and told me not that way. The whole Isha Besuleha Yikach. So forget about Biv. Besuleha told me not Besula, Besuleha. It changed the meaning of Besula. So Remeir said, I'll tell you how it changed it. Besula means even partial Besula, which includes Begeris. Comes along Besuleha and says, no, you need a Begeris.
You need a Nara.
You need a Nara, not a Begeris. And Reb Shimon learned the exact opposite. Besula means even a Begeris. Oh, I'm sorry, a Begeris is Usher, only a Nara.
She has to have full
Besula. Comes along Besuleha and is Matur Begeris. So again, let's understand that. What does the word Besula mean? According to Remeir, Besula meant only Nara. Besuleha said, sorry, according to Remeir, the word Besula meant even Nara, even Begeris. Besula miktas Besula. According to Remeir, the word Besula meant any amount of Besula, Nara or Begeris. Comes along Besuleha and says, no Begeris.
You need four.
Let's move to Tuma. V'lachaytzai habsula. Here it doesn't say Besuleha. According to Remeir, that word should translate V'lachaytzai habsula, even partial Besulam, even Begeris. Because that's how Remeir learned the word Besula over there. There the Torah wrote Besula. Here the Torah didn't write Besula, just wrote Besula. According to Remeir, the word Besula means even partial Besula. So why do I need Elof? Why do I need to include Begeris? It's included in the word Besula. That was the Gemara's Kasha on Samach HaMad Aleph. The Gemara answered that since elsewhere the Torah wrote Nara Besula, I would make Gzeirah Shava that here Besula is limited, so I need Elof to tell me, don't limit Besula. That's how the Gemara explained Remeir. So again, Besula in essence, according to Remeir, means even Begeris, partial Besula. And I wouldn't need Elof to include that a Kayan can be metamic to his sister to Begeris. Besula tells it to me. But there's a Gzeirah Shava out there to another pasuk where it says Nara Besula. I would make that Gzeirah Shava and limit Besula here to Nara. Comes along Elof and says, don't make that Gzeirah Shava. Leave Besula as is, which means even Begeris.
So even though a Kohen Gadol cannot marry her.
Cannot marry a Begeris, that's because it says Besuleha. A regular Kohen can be metamic to her. That's what Remeir, that's Stratton Remeir. Comes along Reb Shimon. Now, Reb Shimon is the other way. He learned the word Besula means total Besula. Can't marry a Begeris. Came along Besuleha and said you could marry a Begeris. But the word Besula meant no Begeris. But here it says, Elof, to include Begeris. And it says Besula, which excludes Begeris. So, Reb Shimon, this is exactly how I know it from. Since I need Elof, must be that without Elof, I would have excluded Begeris. Why would have I excluded Begeris? Because Besula means a total Besula, only a Nara. That's exactly why I need Elof. Because without Elof, I would have said no Begeris. Why would I have said no Begeris?
So you make the Gzeirah Shava?
No. The word Besula means only Nara. according to Reb Shimon. Because since I needed to include Begeris, not because of Gzeres Shavah, because the essence of the word. That's what he's saying. From Elof, I see that the essence of the word Besula is only Nahara.
What does he do with the Gzeres Shavah?
He doesn't have that Gzeres Shavah, either did Remeir. Remeir says, we're afraid you would make that Gzeres Shavah. Reb Shimon has no fear. Even without the Gzeres Shavah, he would say, you would say Besula means only Nahara. That's why I need Elof. This is the source.
Elof tells me now that I can be Matami to
a Begeres.
Even though she doesn't have her full Besula.
Even though she's not Besula.
Right.
Exactly. Rashi. V'amar Reb Shimon l'al Besula Shleima Mashma, but Yitzchak Besula l'al Mishu Begeres l'klei Nodl. The answer is, this is the source. According to Reb Shimon, this is the source. Fine. End of this part of the sugya. Tanya we learned. Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer. It's interesting, the Gemara calls him Reb Shimon ben Yochai. We call him Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Okay, there's a four-way machlokes, if I remember correctly. We're only going to be dealing with one opinion here. A kohen cannot marry a geyrus. That's fact. We had different opinions already. Can he marry a bas geyrim? Can he marry the daughter of two geyrim? We had Rabbi Yossi say he can. We had Rabbi Yehuda say he can't. And then we had Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov that said, if one parent is Jewish, he can. If both parents are Jewish, are converts, he can't. So we already had three opinions, right? The fact is that Kayin cannot marry a Geiris. How about an offspring of a Geiris? So we had three different opinions. Rabbi Yehuda said no, unless both parents are born Jewish. Rabbi Yossi said yes, even if neither parent are born Jewish, they're both converts. Again, the girl was born Jewish, but her parents were both converts. And Reb Lezer ben Yaakov differentiated. If both parents were converts, no. If one parent was a convert, yes. That was, and the other parent was born Jewish. That was the three opinions that we had already. Here is a fourth opinion that we never entertained yet. And Reb Shimon ben Yochai says that a girl that's Megayer under three, she herself, even though she is a convert, but since she was Megayer under three, can marry a kohen. And the logic behind it is, this girl never had a relationship with anybody, so she's not a Zayna. We assume every Geisha lady is a Zayna, but we can't assume that an under three, because an under three is not a relationship.
What did we say before? Mightily Abba, remember, what did he say by a girl under three? By that Gemara, we had, don't you agree to me that a girl under three can...
That it's not called a Bia. It's not called a Chuppah. It's nothing to do with that Gemara. No, it had to do with Chuppah Pesulas.
Is there a reason that
Yerushan
doesn't take up the
See, this is a major tumult in the Achrayim. It says Nashgaz. They made Xera and Gayim Nashgaz. Whether it's a Zayna Deraisa, is a Geyerus a Zayna Deraisa, or is it only a Zayna Drabanan? But whatever it is, obviously it's that was Nashgaz. That's the Zion of Zion of Nashgaz. The Chiddush here, we were talking about a girl under three, so we know for sure that she had no relationship. And still, three Tanoim after it. It's based on a pasuk, Ashaloi Mizera Beis Yisrael. It's the Gemara in Kedushin. So Reb Shimon ben Yochai is the most mekel. And he says, any girl herself was a convert, but she was converted under three, is muta lakuna. The other three Tanoim did not allow this. They were talking about the offspring of a convert. They were not talking about the convert herself. Reb Shimon ben Yochai says, Giyaris p'chusim ibas sholosh shana b'yom echad, k'sheir lakuna. And he has a pasuk that proves it. It says, Shenemar, the chol hataf b'noshim ashlayadu milchshuv zachar, every young girl who did not live with a man, hach you lochem, keep alive for yourself. This is when they went to war in Midian, and they came back, and they left the women alive. And Moshe got angry at them, and he said, how could you leave the women alive? They were the source of the whole problem. So he told them to kill the women, but they can keep alive the children of, that never had Mishkav Zachar, they never lived with a man. The Gemara is going to explain this in a moment, right? and you can keep it for yourselves. Now, one of the men that went to war was Pinchas, and he was a Kayan. And he was included in the word Hachyulochem. How could he take it for himself? L'chaira, he's a Kayan and she's a Giyaris, the girl that he captured. Tarot says, a Giyaris, Mibab Gimel Shonim, is Mutar L'Kuno. That's Reb Shimon ben Yochai's Rasha. The Pasuk told all the people that went to war, the little girls who never lived with a man, Hachyulochem. Lochem for what? Reb Shimon ben Yochai means you can marry them. One of the people that went to war was Yeshua Kayan. His name was Pinchas. And he went to war. Okay, we'll see in a second. But that's the drasha. Let's read it again. And Pinchas was there. Rabbanon, how did the other three learn? Didn't say Hachyulochem to marry them. Hachyulochem keep them as maidservants. In truth, this avodim is not necessary here. We're not talking about boys. All the men were killed out. We're talking about shvachas. Rashi, Dr. Rashi, Ksheru lakuna, le'machzakina lo kezayna. We don't assume she's a zayna. In fact, she can't be a zayna because, literally, because she can't have had a relationship under three. Doesn't count as a relationship. Prakti Gemara, ihachi basholu shanavi amechanami. Based on this, what if you have a giyaris that's six? And you know she never had a relationship with a man. What if you have a Giyaris that's eight and she never had a Giyaris relationship with a man? Based on the Pasuk, the Chol Hatav Banashim Ashulah Yadu Mishkav Zachar. If you can know for sure that this little girl of eight never had a relationship with a man, you should be a kind, should be able to marry her. Why does Reb Shimon Michai say under three? What if you know for sure? She was your shifcha, and you had her isolated, and she never, ever lived with a man, and now she's eight, and she's freed, and now she wants to, you want to marry her. Kayan, can he marry her or not? Shemekai says no, and the question is based on the pasuk, Asher lo yaldu mishkav zachar, she was lo yaldu mishkav zachar.
Once you took her as three and kept her that way, what does that mean?
You know this girl, whatever it is, you know for sure she never had a relationship with a man. Yeah. She was your shifcha, not captured in Midjan.
Oh, here, okay.
Rashi. The Torah seems to be interested in whether she had a relationship. So why is it three? And for the Gemara, Kid Rav Huna. It's because Rav Huna's shot in the Pasuk. Rav Huna Rami, Rav Huna had a contradiction in the Pasuk. It said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, I think it was Moshe Rabbeinu that told him, right? Kitzim. Kitzim, Kol Isha Yedas Ish L'Mishkav Zachar Haroigu. Any woman that had a relationship with a man, kill. Now, use the word Isha. Isha means adult. Hayodaina Yedas Kaimu. The inference is, if you know this adult woman did not have a relationship with a man, you can keep her, you can marry her. Again, the Pasuk says, any woman that had a relationship with a man, kill. If you know she didn't, how you would know, we'll figure that out, the Gemara is going to say. But let's say you knew she didn't have a relationship with a man, the inference of the Pasuk is, you can marry her. Miklau, but use the word Isha, adult, infers, the taf ben yadu ben lo yadu kindly. It means we're not worried about children that had a relationship. It didn't say kol nashim vataf. It says kol isha. We're separating children from adults. It says kol isha yadas ish le mishkav zachar haregu. The kol hataf ben nashim asher lo yadu mishkav zachar. Now make up your mind. Is the Torah stresses a difference between a child and an adult? It's not child and adult. It's whether they had a relationship or didn't have a relationship. So don't separate child and adult. Say, any female who had a relationship, kill. Who didn't, don't kill. Don't stress any adult, any child. There's no difference adult and child. From the first part of the Pasuk is Mashma, only adults are killed. But children that had relationships are not killed. The second part of the Pasuk says, children who had no relationship. Mashma, the children who did have relationships, you do kill. Now make up your mind. If that's true, why are you stressing a difference between a child and an adult? The stress should be the difference between a female who had or didn't have a relationship. Why is the pasuk saying adult and child? That's Rav Huna's contradiction.
Rabbi.
But if she didn't have a relationship, keep her alive. By using the word adult, that if a child, I don't care if she had a relationship. Then it says, and then it turns around and it says, that even a child you kill if she had a relationship. The answer is, it has nothing to do with the actual relationship. It has to do with whether she's capable of a relationship. And the pasuk says, "Chol isha yidas ish." Any woman who's capable of a man's relationship, she's over three, kill. The chol atav benasha masher lo yadu means that any girl not capable of that relationship, not that didn't physically have a relationship, but isn't capable of a relationship, keep alive. So from here, we see that it's not based on fact, whether she did or didn't have a relationship. It's based on age. Is she old enough to have had a relationship? From the fact that the pasuk talked adult and child, the pasuk is trying to tell me what we mean is ruyalabiyah, ain't ruyalabiyah. Nothing to do with whether she did or didn't have that relationship. Once she's ruyalabiyah, she's classified as a zayna. She's not real Abiyah.
Rabbi.
She's not classified as a side note.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
The laws of being a ger with a minor. If a katana, we started off making the assumption that she was a day over three or whatever. Does a katana have to reaffirm when she reaches adulthood that her conversion is
yes.
Good? So we're not worried in any of this discussion about any sort of provisional status she has between the ages of 3 and 11 or 12 or whatever it is. We're not worried about any of this. Bechira.
Right. The Gemara in Ksuba says she has to reaffirm, but it doesn't say anywhere that there's any fear of marrying her because she might decide to leave the fold. Which would be retroactive in a certain sense, because that means she never was really Jewish.
So she doesn't have a provisional status. If she does nothing, she's okay. Or does she have to affirmatively?
It's a big machlokes rishonim. We paskin that one has to tell the 12-year-old, do you want to remain Jewish? And she has to say yes. That's the halacha l'maisa that we paskin.
And until then, none of this discussion we've just had worries at all about the fact that she can retract, or that she, I'm sorry, that she has to reaffirm it.
You bring up, and it's true, yes. 100%. I believe that Tysus discusses it in Ksubas, Yud Aleph and Med Aleph, but I would have to look it up. Because the Gemara there talks about that she can retract, and therefore it's a question whether we would give her knas or not give her knas.
Right.
And so the Gemara talks about it over there. That's where the Gemara brings in, Rabbi Kohn is not here, Shalei Chayta Niskar. Right, because then we don't want a guy who sinned to gain money, but that's where the Gemara discusses it. The Gemara doesn't discuss a Kohen marrying her. I believe Tysus over there discusses it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
But you're 100% right. She theoretically can retract.
Rebbe, I'm here. I just not here physically, and I wasn't going to say Chota Nisker anymore because that's Rebbe Kleiman's Shkel Torah now.
Thank you.
I've given up that. I'm not. There's an answer Rebbe gave. I'm not going to go back. She told me already once or twice not to say it. I'm not going to say it again. Kleiman still says it. I mean,
that's to show him should never be inhibited from asking a question.
No,
I just wanted to say that is where the Gemara says Le'echayta Nisker on this thing.
Oh, that's what it says. Oh. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Margaret, can I ask a question?
Sure.
A couple things I don't understand. When it talks about Pinchas, it's talking about him marrying one of the Midianites?
Not that he did. He was allowed to. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people that went to war, any girl under three you can keep alive for yourselves.
As a wife.
The question is, what does the word for yourselves mean? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai sees for yourselves to marry, and Rabbanan see for yourselves as servants.
So when the Rabbanan said, that's what I'm having problems with, says, Lavadim v'leshivchos, is that just an expression? In other words, Avadim, there's a havamina that the boys would be kept alive?
I said the word Avadim doesn't fit here because we're only talking about girls.
Right. So Avadim is just an expression, it's not literally.
I said that because there were no Avadim here, they killed all the men, it's only the girls. So really it means l'shvachas.
Okay, and my other question is about Roy Liboel, or Liboel. Does that mean, how old is a boy is when he's Roy? Or it doesn't
Nine.
Make
a... Nine.
Nine? Okay.
Nine.
Okay, thank you.
Under nine is not capable of having a Torah-viewed relationship. He's viewed as a non-human. I hate to say that. I don't mean it in a bad way. His relationship with a woman might render her a mukas eitz, but it's not called a bia.
So the boys were the boys from Midian were
killed. It has nothing to do with anything. The boys in Midian were killed. They came back. They had killed all the men and had left the women alive. And Moshe was upset why they left the women alive. So when he gave them the orders, he said, kill the women that were Yadas-ish, and don't kill the Taf that were Lo-Yadu-ish. And that is contradictory, and we explain it to mean, kill any girl capable of having a relationship, and keep alive the girls that aren't capable of having a relationship. And that's Rav Shimon ben Yochai's source, that you can marry a girl that's converted under three. And Rabbanan's response is, keep alive doesn't mean marriage. Keep alive means that you can keep them as maidservants.
Okay, and my last question is, normally a child is dragged in by his or her parents to be Megayer. In other words, when the parents are Megayer, the child is brought along with them. If the parents are killed in this case, who is Megayer these children under, these girls under three and a day?
The answer is the captors, and I'll explain myself. The reason a parent can be Megayer their little child is we assume that little children want to go along with their parents. It's the better choice for them, so it's a schus for them. It's better for a girl to be somebody's wife than to be somebody's servant. So we assume that the little girl would agree to become a Jewish woman rather than a Jewish maidservant. By an adult, we never say that because there's a certain taiva that adults have that say it might not be worth being Jewish. I'd rather not be Jewish and be allowed to do all kinds of averus. But little children don't have that desire, and therefore at that point it's beneficial for them to become somebody's wife rather than become somebody's maidservant.
And that's the thinking behind their captures will also make them their wives rather than avodim shivchos?
That's what Reb Shimon said, the Pasuk said. You're allowed to make them your wives. Hachayu lochem. The question is how to translate the word lochem. Reb Shimon translates the word lochem means you can keep them as your wives.
And the Rabbanan would say la'avadim u'shivchos.
That you can't marry them. A kayan can't marry them. Again, it's only Pinchas. He was the only kayan we know that went to war.
Right.
The question is, what did the Torah allow him to do? The others have no restriction in marrying Geirison, so they could marry them.
But according to Rabbanan, there's no benefit for the children to be Megayer to end up being Avadim and Shivchos. So who
they
would
have
Megayer
no choice
them?
In the matter. They're
captors. But they'd rather be that?
They're not free anymore anyway. It's over. Freedom is over.
So the Megayer them 100%.
You know, they can put them in a cage in the Mexican border, but besides that, there's nothing else to do.
Okay, so were they Megayer them for Shivchos and Avodim? Or no, they remain an Eved Kani?
Yes. Going to the Rabbanan, they had options. Except for Pinchas, they all had options. They could marry them.
So it was only Avodim to Pinchas.
Again. The question is, what did Moshe Rabbeinu mean when he said, all of you can keep them alive? He included all people equally.
Including Pinchas.
That means everybody can do something. Rav Shimon ben Yochai means anybody here who went to war can marry them. And Rabbanan say all he meant was anybody can keep them as a shevcha. Now, everybody else besides the Pinchas can also marry them. But that's not what the word lachem meant.
All right. Okay.
Why does that have to do twice?
It's trying to differentiate between an age woman. Isha means over three and Taf means under three. If the Torah is trying to say, kill all women that are capable of relationship.
Isn't one pasuk enough? Tell me that. If I just say, call the her and then call the keva, why does that have to go to Isha and Taf? Why do I need two pasukim?
I don't know. Doesn't mean she actually had a relationship, but she's capable of one. Who says maybe the Torah meant she actually had the relationship? Mashma, that by kids we care if she had a relationship, and by women we don't care. It's a contradiction. Rashi. Zog to Rashi, Rav Huna Rami, Isha Mashma Gedayla, the Kamer, the Krah, Yadas Haregu, Shein Yadas Hakyu. Those who had a relationship keep a kill, those who didn't keep alive. Mekwal the Taf, Leishna Hakyu, Leishna Hakyu, Hakyu. Mashma little children doesn't make a difference. Uksim Kal Taf, Mashma doesn't make a difference. Havi Yaymer, Mizikashi Krah, Dodi. Since the Pasik are contradictory, Akarkok Yadas the Krah, Vashel Lo Yadu, the word Yadas and Lo Yadu, Lavdi Dia Mamish Kamer doesn't actually mean a relationship. Then you can't answer the inferences of the pasuk. It means a woman who's capable of having a relationship. Any woman who's capable of having a relationship, we're translating Isha to mean anybody over three, the Ruya Leda. Don't make a diak that a child, even if they had a relationship. The baruya kamishtoy krah. We don't mean actual relationship. We mean capable. Means under three. Baruya lebo avapi shloy nivelok shuaymer v'kalatav shliyad ha'achiu ha ishap shliyad ha'raygu. Again, the same contradiction. Have a baruya lebo kamishtoy krah. The pasuk means age, not age. If you give me two more minutes, frek the gemar menoyadi. How do we know their age? They did not carry their birth certificates around. A girl is there. Do you know if she's three or not? How do you know? Dr. Gemara Amar Avuna Bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chassid Havirim Lefnei Atzitz. They put him in front of the tzitz. Kosha Penel Merikais. If her face turned green, is that what Archko says?
Sallow. S-A-L-L-O-W.
Sallow. What is sallow?
Pale.
Pale? Anyway, whoever paled, be do a shiruya leboil. That was over three. Kosha ain't panamarikais, be do a shiruya leboil. That's how they checked age. They walked every girl by the tits. And the girls either reacted or didn't react.
Didn't have a beer. What's the big deal if they're over three?
Because the Tyrus said it has nothing to do with actual beer, it has to do with being capable of beer. A girl capable of beer that's a guy that converts cannot marry a kayak. Rashi, Panam Arikais Neisaya. Now, the Tosfos learns. See, the question is, where is this? Why should that make a difference? She didn't have a bia. The answer is, we're learning out from this Sukkim that the Torah doesn't let a Kayan marry any woman that was a guy that was capable of having a bia. Reason? I can make up a reason, but I don't know.
He brings the Yashas Yaakov, who said that they were used to entice the Bnei Israel.
Okay.
There were three.
Thank you. Yashas Yaakov is an earlier Achron, and he says because they were used to, even if they didn't have a relationship, but they were used to entice them. Okay. I would have said the Torah made a loy plug, but usually the Torah doesn't do that biblically, but that's what I would have said. I would have said the Torah says, listen, once she's capable, again, it's a nice svara. Thank you. Yes, Baruch Moshe, you had a question.
These psukim were after the Midian when they brought them back to Moshe?
When they brought them back to Moshe. Moshe was angry at them for not killing the women.
So what does he mean? Hirgu called Zachar Batav. They brought back the boys also then. Here you go, called Zachar Batav.
Wait.
It's Pasuk Lamed Yud Zayin. He brings the, in the Torah Arshalom. Ata Hirgu called Zachar Batav.
Again, I would need to look at Chumash. I don't have the Pesukim on the side. I'm not so sophisticated. Because they brought all the boys back too, the little boys. If you look at the pasuk, it says Vayahargu kol zachar. They killed all the males in pasuk v'zayin, right? It says they killed all the males. But then in pasuk tet it says they brought back tapam. Mashma, the young boys were not killed. So Moshe Rabbeinu said all boys get killed. That, I think, Pashup shot in the pasuk. Kill all boys. Right. That's what I think happened. Because it said they killed all the Mizachar. But I think it meant they killed the adult males. And they brought back Tapam. Again. That's what I think has to be shot. You're right. He told them Kirgul Kol Zachar. If they killed him already, why is he telling them that? So it could be they had the little boys alive. I didn't look at the Mefarshia Chumash there, but that's what I would think. I didn't see Rashi say anything, but that's what I would think. Tati Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Nachman, Simon La'Aveira Hadroiken. A simon for people who do Averis is they turn pale. Hadroiken is an illness. But hadroiken causes paleness. So hadroiken is an illness. It seems to be an intestinal illness. And it causes paleness. Rashi hadroiken, p'neim shel oivra avera marikin. Now Taisa says, hadroiken is not paleness. But that is, a person who suffers from hadroiken also turns pale. We find a similar story where they had to ascertain about status of women. Nothing to do with the story of Midyan, nothing to do with Goyim, a similar story. What happened was, in the history of Klal Yisrael, there was a huge civil war. The first civil war in Klal Yisrael was when all the Shvatim fought against Shevet Binyamin. Because of a story of what happened in Yavesh Gilad, where a woman was killed and misused and abused, and Klal Yisrael was angry. And there was a civil war against Binyamin. Many, many Yidden were killed. One of the things they said was that they can't, nobody can give their daughter to marry anybody from Shevet Binyamin. Nobody can give their daughter, right? The story didn't happen in Yavesh Gilad. The story happened in Giva, Pelegish Begiva. Nobody can give their daughter.
During what time was that?
Let me explain. During this time of the Shaiftim, there was a story of Pelegish Begiva. Now, the people of Gilad, of Yavesh Gilad, did not come and join the war against Binyamin. Everybody went to fight against Binyamin, and they didn't go. So what happened was, they killed out all the people in Yavesh Gilad because they refused to come fight Binyamin. Now, the people of Binyamin weren't allowed to marry Jewish girls. So what happened was, Vayimtzu miYoshvei Yavesh Gilad, after they killed out all the males of Yavesh Gilad, they found Arba Meyab Narab Sula Shal Yavesh Ishla Mishkav Zachar. They found 400 girls that had never lived with a man. And they were the ones that the people from Shevet Binyamin married. That's what the pasuk says. Shevet Binyamin was not allowed to marry Jewish girls. I think Yavesh Gilad were the I don't know. They're the ones that ended up. I don't know the story well enough. Rashi Anshe Yavish Gila b'mei pelegish b'givish shenergu kol Anshe Yavish Gila. They were killed out. Lefish leibol yilachem b'shevet b'yam and kisharachem. The heck you koshle nivula. They left alive any girl that didn't have a relationship. Nasnum l'nesarim b'shevet b'yam and l'nashim. And they let the leftover of Shevet Binyamin after the war, there were very few people left of Shevet Binyamin, they married the girls of Yavish Gilad, who had never had a relationship. Now, how did they know?
Why did they leave them alive?
Which ones?
The girls, they didn't do anything. They were not the ones that didn't go to war, so they didn't affect the girls.
But they only left alive, it seems like, 400 that never lived with a man. I guess the ones that lived with a man were not left alive. I don't know the story well enough. Does he say it? I'm sure at the bottom he must elaborate on this, no?
Tell the story.
What does he say? They killed out all the men of Yavish Gilad?
However, when the community of Yavish Gilad was discovered to have ignored the national oath to wage war against Benjamin, a force of 12,000 men sent to strike it. Only those of their women who had never cohabited were spared.
Right.
So the men of Benjamin could take them as wives.
Right. Practicing Barman Ayadi. How could they tell whether this woman ever had a relationship with a man or not? That the Gemara of Kahana Shivim Abichavish Shoyayin. They did the barrel test. We had this in Subas. It put a woman over the top of a barrel. If she's a psula, you will not be able to have the fragrance come through her mouth. If she's a ba'ula, the fragrance will go through her body and come out her mouth. Ba'ula reicha neidav, psula ein reicha neidav. Frek the Gemara, Dr. Rashi. Dr. Gemara v'nevrinu with a tzitz. Why couldn't they use the tzitz? Instead of putting a barrel test, it's a little bit embarrassing for a woman to be put on a barrel test. That the Gemara of Kana Beredra of Nassim, the Ratzon Lehem Ksev. Tzitz is supposed to be for goodwill, for good things. But like the Peronius, not to find the women who had a relationship and kill them. So the same thing in Midjan. You're putting them through the tzitz, and anyone that turns pale you kill. That means you're using the tzitz as a means to kill people. I, the Ratzon, let me finish. And for the Gemara, Amravashi, Lahem Ksiv, Larat Lahem Laratzen. For Yidden, it's for good things. Vilay Liparanias. Vilay the Kachavim, Avilu Liparanias. Meaning, for Yidden, we don't use tits to kill people. What would be the purpose of a tits? Any woman that turns pale, the tits, bang, gone. Tits is not here to teach us how to kill. So therefore, we do the barrel test. By guy, we don't mind using the tits to kill the guy.
These women were in Goyim?
Rabbi.
No, they were in Yavish Gilad.
That's why they used the barrel. Last question.
Rabbi.
One second. Dr. Harris is in the middle.
So you're
going to
use the barrel test.
To ascertain if she's a psula or a ba'ula. We don't want to use the tits because that means the ones who flunk will get killed. That means the tits decides who gets killed. Yes, Harvey.
The tits has inherent kedusha, like the Urim Veturim and et cetera, et cetera. Where does this barrel test come from? How would anyone know this, or how is this referenced?
The Gemara says it in Subas. That was a common way, I don't know how many times. The Gemara there discusses a woman that her husband came and said he didn't find psulim, and she claimed she's still a psula, and he wasn't capable of breaking it. And we had to ascertain who's right and who's wrong. So they did a barrel test. And the Gemara says they tested the barrel test on two maidservants. One was a psula and one was a ba'ula. And they put them on the barrel and it worked. And once they saw that the test worked, they used it for this woman as well, who ended up being a psula. She was right that her husband hadn't penetrated her psula. Now, that psula test became an accepted mode of testing a girl, whether she's a psula or bula, which usually you don't need to do. It's rather embarrassing. But in a case when it's necessary, they do it. Over here, these women wanted to stay alive. And the only way to stay alive was to prove that they were psulim, so they would willingly agree to do the barrel test.
My question is probably stupid. I just can't. One thing is mentioned in the Torah as having certain spiritual qualities. The other sounds like
not spiritual. It's a barrel test. It's a physical test. It's a blood test. It's the same as any test that any doctor gives. It is not a spiritual test. This is a physical test.
It was a rapid test.
It was rapid. It would be like taking an X-ray or a sonogram or a MRI, whatever way you would need to ascertain if she's a psula or not. Today, instead of a barrel test, they would send her for, a sonogram or MRI to ascertain whether she has psula or not. I don't know which one works for what. Sometimes they use one, sometimes they use the other.
All right.
That's what they would do today. Not because it has any kedusha, it just physically tells us whether she's a psula or not. They didn't have MRIs and sonograms, so they had to use the barrel test. Today they would send a woman, go for an MRI, or start, again, I don't know, whatever way they test it. Do you have a psula or not? The test would come back. We would know.
Okay.
Everybody should have a wonderful day.